The reading is taken from John chapter 16, verses 12 to 15. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. I'm Colin, and I'm part of the ministry team here. Shall we just pray to begin with? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Spirit. And we thank you that he comes to guide us into all the truth. Teach us the truth today. In his name, amen. Well, I expect you've heard of the little boy who, when asked what the word faith means, he replied, believing something you know isn't true. Well, as you have already gathered, today is Trinity Sunday, and the doctrine of the Trinity is something that we find difficult to understand and struggle to believe. And in the Apostles' Creed, we affirm, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. I believe in the Holy Spirit. This, of course, we've sung earlier as our affirmation of faith. We believe this. But perhaps, like the little boy, we struggle to accept it as true. It doesn't make sense to our finite and limited minds. How can there be one God but three persons? Well, our reading this morning is a small section of a much larger passage in which Jesus talks about the relationship between himself, his Father, and the Holy Spirit. How long ago can you remember back sermons that you've heard preached in this room? 1 week? Maybe you struggle at that. Sometimes 2 weeks, you can manage that. Well, I can't because I wasn't here the last 2 weeks. But can you remember Andy's sermon 4.5 months ago? Do you remember this? Andy's shirt impressed itself so much on my mind, I've never forgotten it. In fact, I used it to preach the following Sunday. We were talking about the Father and the Father's love, how much, see what love the Father has shown us that we should be called children of God, 1 John 3:1. So we think about God as Father. But lately we've been thinking about Jesus Christ, about a lot about what he has done. We've thought about the Son of God who was betrayed, tortured, and then he rose, was crucified, and then he rose from the dead. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. But before he was crucified, he had a long talk with his disciples about a wide range of things. He explained that his crucifixion was not bad luck. It wasn't a tragedy. It wasn't even a miscarriage of justice, though it was that. But it was part of God's plan for salvation of the whole world. Then he adds that he has much more to say, but the disciples couldn't bear it But he says, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. So we have the Father, then we have the Son, and now we have the Spirit of truth. And it's about the Spirit of truth that I'm going to concentrate on for the rest of my talk this morning. So there's so much we can say about the Holy Spirit, but I want to focus on today's passage where he's called the Spirit of truth. You see, truth matters. In our passage, he says that there's loads more he wanted to say to them, but it would be too much for them. So he was going to send them the Holy Spirit, which he calls the Spirit of truth, because he will guide you into all truth. At Jesus' trial before Pilate, Jesus says to Pilate in the course of the exchange, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. And Pilate, being Pilate, replies, what is truth? You know, skepticism, being uncertain about the truth and so on, that's nothing new. It's not something that's invented in the 21st century. It was as long ago as Pilate was also skeptical about the truth. But since the beginning of the human race, people have preferred to believe the lie rather than acknowledge the truth. Paul says that this will be increasingly so as we draw near to the end times. We have only to read the news feeds to know that people are often quite ready to believe anything other than the truth. Many say that the truth doesn't matter. And we see on social media, influences, political promises, what actually happens in war zones. You know that saying, truth is the first casualty of warfare. That was coined by Ethel Anakin, who was the wife of Lord Snowden in 1915, bang in the middle of the First World War. Autocratic regimes, we can think of several of those, can't we? Will seek to silence the independent news outlets. The BBC is not allowed into Gaza. And promote their own propaganda as truth. Anything else is labelled fake news. Whereas the fake news sometimes is attributed to the propagandist instead. Jesus promises that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. So, truth matters. Truth is knowable. Truth comes from God, and the Spirit of truth will guide us into all truth. Let's believe that, brothers and sisters. This is why we need to be critical of information, look for evidence as corroboration, seeking wisdom from the Holy Spirit at all times. So read your newspaper with your critical thinking switched on. Reputable news channels take care to back their reporting with evidence and corroboration for their story. But so often, the unreputable agencies that continue to peddle lies. So first, truth matters. Second, the Spirit of truth empowered the apostles as they spread the gospel throughout the known world. So this is how Jesus, he sent the Spirit of truth, and first of the task that the Spirit undertook was to guide the apostles as they spread the truth of the gospel in the known world. So the message of the gospel is spread abroad from Jerusalem into Judea, then Samaria, and to the ends of the world, Acts 1:8. And as part of this, Peter, he was filled with the Holy Spirit and guided by the Spirit as he defends himself before the Sanhedrin. He performed a couple of miracles and the Jews didn't like it, so they dragged him along to interrogate him on that. But the Spirit guided him as he defended himself in that situation. Another man called Stephen, he was one of the seven appointed to distribute the relief to the poor people in the church in Jerusalem. There were thousands of people in that church. Wow. But many of them, of course, were people in need. And Stephen was part of the team that coordinated the relief effort. But he was also an evangelist. And he was inspired and gifted by the Holy Spirit. And he was eventually condemned to death by stoning by the Jewish authorities. And following the persecution that was happening at that time, Philip was one of those who fled to Samaria, as others were fled to other parts of the world. And in Samaria, he preached the gospel, led by the Holy Spirit. And, well, I never, the man who guarded the garments of those who stoned Stephen, his name was Saul, and he became Paul the Apostle. He was set aside by the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, Acts 13, verse 2. So first then, the second, the Spirit of Truth empowered the apostles. Third, the Spirit of Truth inspired the writers of the Old and New Testaments. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. 2 Peter 1:19-21, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. By the way, that picture I've put up there was inspired by a study I was following in France, published by the Institut Biblique Geneva Bible Institute, to provide a basic training in theology for, young pastors, really. And their illustration of the Holy Spirit inspiring the prophets was a boat carried along by the wind. So I thought I'd put it up there for you as well. Just a little bit of a flashback in my life. 2 Peter 3, verse 14-16, Peter writes also about our dear brother Paul. He says, Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. And Peter quotes Paul's writings as the other scriptures. In other words, Peter's attributing to Paul's letters the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of Truth inspired the writers of the Old and the New Testament. This is why we have this enormous Bible that we can rely on and read every day. Or we can have it on our mobile phones, very handy. But let us read and learn from the Word of God, because it is inspired by the Spirit of Truth. Fourthly, and this should encourage us, I think, the Spirit of Truth guides and inspires us today as we witness to the gospel message in our communities. He leads and helps us as we witness for him. How does he do this? I suggest the following. First, the Spirit inspires us in our living. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Earlier on, we prayed our prayers of confession, conscious that too often we allow the desires of the flesh to overrule the inspiration of the Spirit, and we fall and we sin. But God, in his grace and infinite mercy, forgives our sin and sets us back on the right path. And we are guided by the Spirit. So Paul exhorts us to say, he says, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. He helps us to live lives that reflect the character of Jesus. As we profess to be Christians, we need to be truthful in all that we say and do, and so that our lives match up to what we preach. There again, he's the Spirit of truth and inspires us to live truthfully. The Spirit also inspires our conversations. Have you thought of that, maybe? Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone, says the Apostle Paul in Colossians 4:6. So he guides us as we hold conversations with people, helping and supporting them in their needs and leading them to knowledge of Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord. Thirdly, the Spirit inspires our prayers. How often have you thought, well, I haven't had much time to pray today, and the foggiest idea where to start? And sometimes we honestly don't know how to pray. But in the same way, says Paul in Romans 8:26, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray. Hey, the great Apostle Paul experienced that too, didn't he? We don't always know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. I think this is a great encouragement. When we don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit prays for us. Sometimes I'm overwhelmed by the number of prayer requests I get feeling that I really ought to support different missions and different causes in our prayer. I subscribe to various news feeds and prayer feeds. And so it comes into the inbox and I'm just totally overwhelmed. And sometimes I just had to say, stop. Lord, you know all these prayers. You know the requests that are being made here. I bring them to you. And the Holy Spirit intercedes with wordless groans, as it says in the text here. And fourthly, the Spirit inspires our ministry. And so Paul, writing to his protege Timothy, he says, the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Now, this is one of the verses that inspired me from the beginning of my ministry when we were working in France. Just as Paul was inspired by the Spirit of truth, so he urges Timothy to pass on the message to those who themselves would be qualified to teach others. And this is the real apostolic succession, and implies that the Spirit's guidance for all those who are called to preach the gospel publicly and carry the message to the ends of the earth. And this is our ministry here in this church in Chester. So Jesus promises to his apostles, and he promises to us, the Spirit of truth who will guide us into all truth. Let us spend a moment in prayer that the Holy Spirit will inspire us in our lives for God. Father, thank you that you gave Jesus Christ to be our Saviour, and thank you that he has imparted to us the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we worship you. We seek to follow you, and we seek to be inspired by you. In Jesus' name, Amen.